Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big 3 at 3. Number 1.
Towards the middle, Pena to his left. Love spins, throws, gets by Abreu. That could allow a run to score, and it does. And that'll be a tie game at 1. Abreu tried to hold the bag, and in doing so, the ball got by him. And the Braves have tied it up on the air.
As I said earlier in the show, I've thrown in the towel on Jose Abreu. I mean, you can't hit the way you better make every damn play. I mean, you better be playing platinum glove first base over there. And that's the second time in a week. I mean, all of it combined, they just got to let him go. Clint, they lose 6-1. It was 2-1 entering the ninth inning. They brought their closer on in the ninth, and Josh Hader to just keep it there, give them a chance to be one run down, and he had to be relieved by Brandon Bielak after the score became 6-1. He had to be relieved by Brandon Bielak. His ERA is well above 9 at this point now, and now the Astros, Clint, are 6-12. They're in last place in the AL West, behind the A's, behind the Mariners. They're 3.5 back of the Rangers, who are not off to a good start. And seemingly, the Rangers seem to be the only team that the Astros are able to handle right now, as they're 4-3 against them. But Clint, 6-12 right now against the best, arguably the best team in baseball for the next two nights, against two of your worst pitchers that you could throw out there the way they have thrown in Hunter Brown and in J.P. France. They're getting close to a bit of a danger zone, a big, big hole. And I think Adam Spillane put it perfect yesterday. Most good teams don't start out like 6-13, 6-14. That most teams don't get out the gates that far under 500 to start a season. So they're getting close to a danger zone.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're getting close. Hell, I think they're there, Ron. I'll be honest with you. Well, look, we can't come in here and go, well, it's just because, man, they've had so many injuries to starting rotation, and they're so thin at starting rotation, man. They just, you know, if you just fix it, that's just not the case. I mean, it's just not the case with this team. So, if it were, I would be able to say, yeah, they're getting close, or, man, they better hurry up and get guys healthy. But there's more to it than that when you watch the Astros. And it starts with what we watched yesterday. 2-1 ball game. You got a chance to keep it tight and give you bats a chance to tie it or take the lead in the bottom of the ninth. You send Josh Hader out there. 2-1 ball game. Before he leaves, they put the game out of reach. I mean, that's the guys that you're dependent on to help weather this storm are guys that are the as big a problem as any. And so it's beyond just the injuries right now. So I think they're there, Ron.
Yeah, text line, move Presley back to closer and admit that Abreu was a mistake.
It is impossible.
And move on. This isn't that hard.
It ain't happening.
But Presley's not the only person in the bullpen that would even deserve by their play is Seth Martinez.
Right. Yeah.
Ryan Presley's ERA is higher than Josh Hader's. He's nearing 10. Brian Abreu is nearing 7. Hell, I'll be honest with you. I think maybe it's only there because he was suspended the first two games of the season and he couldn't get in.
He's got fewer outings, huh?
God, dog, that game, his last performance against the Royals in that inning where he just got destroyed when they're just trying to keep, like, no. Like, it's, there is nothing about Ryan Presley that says, you know what? He deserves this year from what he has done to move back in that closer spot. Now, I'm with you on the Abreu thing. Now, I don't think now, when you say this isn't that hard, like, hell, it ain't. No, it is hard.
Yeah, no.
It is hard to just say, we're going to make the decision to sit a guy who's making $20 million a year, who's an everyday player, who ended up starting out like this and came on as the season ended and was one of your top RBI guys and guys in the postseason last year. Yeah. It's hard to sit him down and just say, we made a mistake to play John Singleton.
Yeah. That's the key to me.
Or the catcher or whatever.
That's the key to me, man, is you got a bunch of problems. Look, their injuries are obviously a problem.
Hard.
Injuries are obviously a problem. The deals where you went out and you splurged with money have not worked out. Montero was awful last year. You paid him money. Abreu has been awful really both years. He came around late last year, I guess. A lot of folks want to lean into the fact, he's a late season guy anyway. No, it was worse than that, just that. This is definitely worse than just that. Now the Josh Hader thing where you invested a bunch of money, that hasn't worked out. I know it's early. I'm not saying that Hader's not going to work out as an Astro, but right now, like, there's bigger problems than just, you know, well, you just don't have any prospects in the system to fill these voids where guys are getting older and guys aren't working out. Well, that's a problem. The injuries are the problem. The contracts that you doled out have not panned out the way anywhere remotely close to what you think they would have. And so there's several things coming. When it comes to weather and storms, Ron, to me, this is the worst of it. It can't get much worse.
No, it can't. And this Braves team, who you got coming. They didn't get to the bullpen they got to Hader, but everybody else they didn't get to last night. They're probably going to see those guys again, some of them again tonight. And this is another really big, after the ass kicking they got Friday, and I know they made it close to 12-8, but after that one, it was key that they came out and got some W's, and they got two wins on Saturday and Sunday. That was big. It feels like they're in need of that again right now, and you just don't have Ronel Blanco and Christian Javier on the mound. This time you have J.P. France tomorrow and obviously Hunter Brown today. I will say a positive thing. I think Spencer Arrighetti pitched as well as you could – not as well, but pretty well enough. You know, obviously the four innings, you want more. He had a 39-pitch second inning, I believe, that stuff. But, hey, man, four innings, four hits, two earned runs, five Ks, two strikeouts. Right? Like that was something to build upon. I don't know if he gets another start. We'll see what happens. But that was something to build upon and you feel better about. And maybe you say to yourself, maybe it just the first game – the nerves, maybe whatever got away from him, and the Royals got those 7 runs on him. But this was encouraging.
There was improvement from 1 to 2, obviously, start 1 to start 2. But, Ron, call me old school, call me whatever you want. I have a really hard time getting excited about 4 innings.
I'm not telling you to get excited about it.
I'm not referring to what specifically you're saying, but I've heard a lot of talk about, and even I listened to the audio from Espada and even Arrighetti himself. Like, I just have a hard time like really leaning into, man, you went out there and get, you gave four innings. It was a decent job, right? I mean, that you got to do a lot better than that to stick around.
Yeah, I don't think he's earned it. Well, we'll see what Hunter does.
I don't even mean like literally stick around right now. But I mean,
you're about stick around
like in the big leagues. You're gonna have to. I mean, four innings. It just is not. And I know we're in a different age of ball. And again, call me old head if you want to. But damn, I just like four innings and two runs. We wouldn't, because the first outing was rough, and I think the wheels came off what, the third inning.
Third inning, yeah.
And so, you know, we look at this one a little differently, but I have a really hard time about getting excited about four innings.
Man. I'm not, yeah. The Braves.
Like if Hunter gives you four good ones tonight, and then gets yanked because the pitch counts through the roof. You got to be better.
No, you do. But I will tell you right now, I'd push the button on it right now. You tell me Hunter Brown four innings, high pitch count, two runs or less. I would hit the button immediately.
Oh, I'd slam the hell out of it.
Right now. Go ahead. Give me a chance.
And that's where we're at?
Unfortunately.
Clint, he gave up nine runs. He gave up nine
look,
runs.
I get it, but that's
two-thirds of an inning.
I know. I get it, but that's where I'm at. Like, I just have a – like, I just cannot let it get so bad to where I'm like, I'm going to get excited about
it. He has still, in three starts, has not reached the amount of innings that Ronel Blanco pitched in his first start of the season. Three starts, he has not arrived there yet. He is 7 2/3 innings is where he is total in three starts. So it's just.
So if he gives us four tonight, I should grin and move on.
No, I mean if he gives you a four and an eight spot, yeah, it, you know, that ain't it. It's crazy. Altuve's hitting four over 400. He's going off. I mean, you know, Yordan's been pretty good for the most part. And they are six games under 500. Just wow.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right, news coming with the Rockets out of Toyota Center. GM Raphael Stone and assistant GM Eli Wittes signed a multi-year contract extension earlier this season, or earlier they've signed extensions, and based off of this year they go 41-41, 500. This was a big year for them. They needed to have improvements, and I think very much, like I think Nick Caserio, the Nick Caserio in entering this season, when they had to hire a coach,
yeah,
those two were in a similar track, right? And I think Nick clearly is further, but this year, 41 wins. Above, you know, not a losing season, yep, at 500 for where they were. This was a big, big step for him. So, much like Nick, he has the year he needs to have to keep not only his job, but now he gets extended.
Look, I mean, here's the deal. You're about striking while the iron's hot now. I mean, you've drafted well. You had some young players that played well and then got injured. And then you had, when those guys went down, you had some guys that you drafted play well. You had the team as a whole appear to get tougher, obviously got better, but appear to get tougher and mature. Your veterans that you signed in the offseason were the plans for Fred VanVleet and what's my man's name, the enforcer?
Oh, Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. I mean, if you know, the plan had to be exactly what we watched unfold. I mean, the way those guys were the roles they played in developing these young dudes, it had to literally be written in a playbook somewhere, and it appeared to unfold perfectly. And so, look, I mean, strike while the iron's hot, man.
Yeah, both of them, when I talk about Stone and Caserio, whoever was all involved, they both did what they needed to do to start things, and that is D'Amico Ryans and Ime Udoka. And basically what happened here is they had the largest jump of anybody in the league, from 22 victories last year to 41 this year, almost doubling that. So that is
– well, if Nick wouldn't have signed a longer-term deal when he got hired –
he might have got him one.
If he'd have signed him a three-year deal right now, he'd have a big one, wouldn't he?
He might have him some new money, yeah. So As we said yesterday, a huge success this year for the Rockets, yep. And now it's moving on to next year, and they've got some stability there, and we'll see what they do moving forward. But big year for them, and Raphael Stone, he gets paid for it.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, last night, I can't wait to see these numbers. I know Tyler didn't watch it, but I can't wait to see these numbers on what the WNBA draft. Because it was being talked about on Twitter and on social media a lot. Now, that ain't the end-all, be-all, but it was being talked about like it was one of those sports events that people were watching. And it's crazy because you knew what was going to happen. Like, you knew Caitlin Clark was going first, which was interesting. And I think even Clint, as you said, when you came in, you've now over the past, month, you've learned some of these players. First thing Clint comes and said, how in the hell did the Chicago Sky both get Angel Reese and Cordova?
I mean, boy, if those two picks, if they hit on those two picks, which, I mean,
Ain't nobody getting rebounds.
I guess there's maybe a little bit of gamble there with Reese in terms of what, but I mean, you got to think that, boy, if those two guys gals even remotely close to land, that, I mean, Chicago's going to be a problem.
It may be, yeah. Yeah, so I think it was. I think they expect a high number for ESPN for that. But Caitlin Clark goes number one in the draft to the Indiana Fever, and they said they've already experienced a spike in the ticket interest. They've sold out several games, and not only Indiana Fever, but teams who have them on the schedule. Las Vegas has moved their game for the Fever to a bigger arena. They're going to play that game in the T-Mobile arena. You know, instead of their normal home arena. So Minnesota Lynx, too, as well with that. But her contract came out. Four-year contract. Wild. Just, I mean, I understand. To think about the record ratings that they got and how ESPN is, I mean, did a huge, massive numbers.
How much money was made around.
Yes, the number one rating for basketball in the last 5 years, any basketball at all. She is going into the league year one, she's going to make $76,000. Year two, she's going to make $78,000. Year three, she's going to make $85,000, and there's an option in the final year of the contract where she makes $97,000. And we're already seeing the uptick in sales. And we haven't even seen TV, but sales for her in games that she's going to be involved with her new WNBA team. She's making $76,000 this year. From her basketball contract.
Ron, I made more than that in Arena League.
Oh, in Arena?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let that one sink in.
And that held 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
14. What is it? 20? Yeah, I mean, 14, 15 years ago.
Wow. I know she damn sure made more than that last year in NIL.
I know. Yeah, she could have went back to school and made 10 times that for damn sure.
$76,000.
Not 10 times. She could have made.
I am blown away by that.
I mean, she had to be staring $2-3 million in the face.
Unlike some of the other women behind her, she's going to make good amount of money with endorsements. She's probably going to get a record shoe deal. She's probably going to for women basketball players. But damn, right. $76,000. We'll see with them. And hopefully that improves. And if she's able to carry the audience with her, clearly that will. But man, you made more than an Arena League. Wow. You think those kids at the UFL?
10 games.
USFL or whatever that, UFL?
No, how many games?
Are they making 16? More than 76? All right, we'll get into this because D'Amico Ryan spoke of where he believes his team still is. Is he correct? Are they still hunting teams, or are they the hunted? We'll discuss that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Hunter or hunted? Kind of heard it there if you were listening right after we went to break. But D'Amico spoke about it. They do. They have high expectations. We talked about this a bit yesterday. Vegas has them with the same Super Bowl odds as the Ravens. And we know many people believe the Ravens are a team for the last couple of years that people believe could hold up the old Vince Lombardi trophy. Here was D'Amico talking about the high expectations and where he believes his team is right now in terms of their place in the league.
I appreciate the question, but we're always hunting. That doesn't change for us. We're always hunting. Expectations on the outside, whatever that may be, it really doesn't change who we are, right? It doesn't. The expectations from the outside don't permeate inside our building, and now we have to change what we're doing just because of outside expectations. It really doesn't matter. My message, our focus as a team is always been consistent, the same as it was last year, is, man, you show up and we continue to get better every single day. You're the best at your position, you're the best for our team, then that's what wins games, right? For us, when everybody is really striving, putting the work in, right, to be better. And that's what it's all about. We don't care about expectations. Talk doesn't win games. We have to go out and play good football when that time comes.
All right, that was D'Amico yesterday. And Clint, there are certain teams that, you know, they may believe they're hunting too, but they are certainly teams that are being hunted. I think the Chiefs, the 49ers fit that. I'd say the Ravens are probably a team that people are hunting. You know, the Cowboys for other reasons, but are teams that are more hunted. Not to say that they aren't doing it, but they know they are.
Yeah.
They are teams that when they are seen, that's who we're trying to get to.
Eagles.
Eagles, yeah, especially going to last year, they were in that. This feels weird with this thought with the Texans being where they have been, but where do you sense the Texans are?
Yeah, we
he said we hunting.
Yeah, no, look, I like where D'Amico's head is at. In fact, I love all the talking about hunting and killing, by the way. I absolutely love it. From Will Anderson, D'Amico, Rhines, love it all. But I mean, look, I think labeling the Texans as hunted and kind of having a different outlook on this year versus last year as it pertains to Hunter, boy, I think is rat poison, man. That's what Nick Saban likes to call it. Like I, and it's my fear, if I'm being honest with you, with the Texans is getting to a point where you have that level of success and all of a sudden something changes and you know you view yourself as the hunted, the conversations around you are boy, they're the hunted, because look, I'll be honest with you, the Texans, all they did was go from being a laughing stock.
I was gonna say, should they be the hunted?
No, hell no, no. I mean,
but do you think they are? Do you think teams
no?
View
I don't.
Them
I, no, I think that's a fun narrative, and I don't think anybody in the NFL looks at the Texans like, yeah, we got to go get them or else. Like the road goes through Houston. Hell, I don't even know. I don't even as I look at it and we prepping this, thinking about this particular topic. Like, I don't know that you would be considered the hunter or the hunted in your own division. Like, let's be honest, man. Let's be honest here.
I would think
you, I get it. But the fact that you looked up and you said, let me think about it. That's what I'm talking about. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with you.
Well, it's
and
not
I,
like the West in Kansas City or San
right.
Francisco.
But that's when you talk about the hunted, I mean, ain't nobody hunting the potential winner of this division. I mean, let's be honest, man. You had to beat Indianapolis to get into the playoffs last year, to win the division and get in last year. And they played the entire season with a backup quarterback and their number one threat on the offensive side of the football missed damn near half the season. Right? I mean, it's – I don't know that the Texans are viewed like legitimately – I'm talking about by players and coaches. I'm not talking about by the media. I know that the media darling right now, and I love it. I'm here for it. But I don't know that the Texans right now in their own division are looked at of like, hey, the division goes through Houston. I mean, you look at Jacksonville. They put together a good season 2 years ago. They're a pretty dangerous football team with Doug Peterson. You look at Indy, if they can do what they did last year with a backup quarterback in year one with a head coach, clearly that roster is going to be better. Clearly everybody in the same system is going to be better. I just hope that that's not the mindset of the squad, man, and you're still the hunter. You're hunting every Sunday, you're going hunting. And I love D'Amico's mindset there.
Well, I think it should be that way, because like you said there, I mean, they're not on the caliber of – they haven't accomplished the things that some of these other teams, when you think of, these are teams that people are hunting. Like you said, these are teams where we got to go get them, right? And I think we named them. But I do think in a very odd way, the hype that they're getting – is creating a level of we're very aware and we want to shut them up. I think with the Stroud thing and everything, I think there is a creation of where people are like, hold on, man, slow this down. I'm talking about other people around the league where they view, like, I don't know if they view the Texans as we got to get to them. But I bet you the Baltimore Ravens can't wait to get to them.
Oh, yeah.
Teams like that where it's Texans, like, look at how they're being talked about. Like, hold on, man.
I think the Texans have gone from being the laughingstock to being on the radar to being a team that other squads that are in Super Bowl contention better take serious or they'll get you.
But I believe
there's a difference in that. Yeah, and the hype
has pushed them into, well, hold on, why are y'all talking so much about this team?
And the hype has pushed them into a position where I think they're going to be a lot more fun to potentially beat than they were 2 years ago. Yep. Right, because now you're beating C.J. Stroud, you're beating Will Anderson, you're beating D'Amico Ryans. So it's going to mean more to beat them if you do indeed match up with Houston and you beat them. But the thought that the Texans are going to be a team that, boy, the championship runs through Houston and they're going to be on the radar of other teams of like, man, we just got to beat these guys if we want a shot. Like, I just
for nobody.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't expect for you to, C.J. But I don't think they're there yet. Great season. Soft ass schedule. Snuck in late. I mean, it's all tip to cap hell of a season. But let's not quite get to where all of a sudden now you're the hunted instead of the hunter.
But because of CJ and their off season, what you're saying though, Clint, that doesn't generally add up to a team that did everything that you just spoke of. What, softer schedule, snuck in at the end. They're being talked about on the level of the Ravens.
Sure. That's what scares me.
And I think people around, like not just for them, I think people around the league want to shut that up. Like, and they're going to play all of them.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt that Houston will be a fun team to play, and if you do beat Houston, it'll be a nice little resume.
I think teams like the Ravens, the Bengals, the Dolphins.
Sure.
I think they are probably offended.
Probably
that the Texans have been pushed up to this space. And I think that will show up on games on Sundays. All right, coming up, somebody has a ton of pressure on him tonight. And we'll see how they perform because they could be playing for their job. We'll discuss that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
713-572-4610 for the text line. They're division champs. Of course they are the hunted in the division. And as far as Indy goes, Minshew is better than Richardson. They're going to fall off this year.
Maybe. Need stuff like that to happen before you become the hunted. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, we got to be real about what we accomplished last year and what we watched last year. Great, not minimize it in any way, shape, or form. It was an absolutely huge year, but as we bump into expectations this year, and let's keep this thing a bit grounded here, folks. It's hunted is a bit much. What happened? What'd you read, man? Did you read something over there? What's wrong?
Gardner Minshew is better than Anthony Richardson. I just
he can't play dead in a horror movie.
Just can't get around that.
Folks believe it, man. Some folks believe it.
Maybe if you worded that into he was more ready. I mean, he is in the offensive system that is. I mean, and we saw him flourishing. Like you watched him up close against you. I mean, and he was. I mean, with ease.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a different level of threat. I mean, it's just not taking anything away from Gardner.
Gardner, backup quarterback. Maybe the best in the league.
Yeah, maybe the best in the league. And hell, if they don't, where's he at right now? Vegas? I think he's in Vegas now. He'll end up starting in Vegas if they don't bring somebody in there or draft a rookie. But, I mean, he's one of those guys that'll float around the league, and like you said, is a backup, but will end up starting because he's one of the best in the league.
Like in my mind, with the Colts, like I am not in. Whew, all right, the path got easier now because Gardner's out of there and Anthony's in.
Yeah,
like, that's just not how I think there are some who take it that way. I know Landry and Lopez aren't real high on. On Anthony Richardson, I know I've heard Landry say that he feels like they may be.
Well, the problem, here's the problem.
My thing is not like, whew, boy, all right, that's easier.
Well, the problem with Anthony Richardson, if you're an opponent, right, if you're in the division, hell, if I don't care if you're in the division, if you're on their schedule, the problem is you go into the game and you hold your breath because what can happen – what happened in Houston last year?
The first quarter.
The first two possessions, wasn't it? Boom, it was 14-0 before you knew it. That's more than likely, or let's say this, that's a lot more difficult of a thing to happen to you if Gardner Minshew's quarterbacking. Because it's going to take other guys. It doesn't just happen the blink of an eye. When Anthony Richardson is out there, it could very easily happen if you just have one defensive end that's not disciplined on a zone read kind of deal.
The final play, it was a good play call. They blew, the player dropped. There's a lot of different options they could have had with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, good point. Yeah, and that's that fourth down situation. Yeah, so I think it's comparing those two guys is almost silly. I mean, it's just – because there is some truth to, like, Gardner is going to minimize mistakes, but he's also got a very low ceiling. And, you know, if you want to play the –
but Gardner makes mistakes, too.
Like sure,
More than – like Joe is their backup now, like Flacco.
Right, yeah.
Like, he's probably more of minimizing that. Gardner gets himself a little
– right. Well, I'm just – the reality of it is you got a guy – and look, it may not ever work out in Indy for Anthony Richardson. I don't know what they're going to do with him in terms of him being injured. You know, he missed a lot of time last year playing that style of ball. So what are they going to do with him? Are they going to not run him? Are they going to play this protect the quarterback thing? That's going to change the dynamic. I have no idea whether it's going to work out. They may never win a division. They may never win a. They may never go to the playoffs with Anthony Richardson. I don't know. But as you sit here right now and look at it, like the scary thing about the Indianapolis Colts is if that guy stays healthy, then they're going to be a problem with him and Jonathan Taylor and that offensive line and Pittman and they're going to be
whatever receiver they draft in this draft.
They're going to be a problem. They're going to be scary.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's I wouldn't count the Colts out at this point in time. I wouldn't count the Jags out. I don't believe that the.
Now, I think the Texans are a clear for me right now the clear favorite with their team and their roster, but I don't like I in no means think this thing got easier because Gardner Minshew left,
right,
and Anthony Richardson's going to be the guy now. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, and I don't think that I should be. I think Hunter Brown is pitching for a spot in the rotation tonight.
That's what it should be for sure. 100%.
I know he still has options. He may need to. Honest to God, if Hunter Brown in three starts is 0-2, he has pitched 7 2/3 innings.
Oh my God!
Ronel Blanco has not Blacko, but Ronel Blanco.
It's the opposite of Blanco.
He hasn't pitched less than 6 innings in any of his 3 starts, including 9, his first one. He has pitched 7 2/3 innings on the season in 3 starts. His ERA is almost 16.5. 8 strikeouts to 7 walks. I know he's hit guys.
That amount of innings is a start for Framber in September.
It's a start for Ronel Blanco, his first time out.
Yeah.
In April.
Yeah.
Tack on an inning at 2/3.
Or was that March?
To me, fellas, if he has another less than 4 inning where he's giving up high runs, you can't run him back out because Verlander comes back. And at this point, I'd rather Arrigetti be in the rotation.
Well, look, for me, what it does, I mean, we go from having, because I legitimately, I'm a Hunter Brown fan. I am too.
I thought he was going to have a big step.
Ron, the expectations were for this guy to be a top of the rotation type of starter and prove that this year. What he's done is put himself in a position where, hey, man, one more slip up and you're going to slide into that middle relief role that we're just kind of running guys through that when Montero's not at full strength, we may go to you, right? You're flirting with being the BLAC, the guy that, hey, man, and no offense, Seth Martinez, but when all mess hits the fan and it's an emergency situation, we may go to you because clearly this starter thing is not working out for you.
Yeah, you're right. Like I'd rather hey man, go figure out down here when we're not 6-13 or 6-12 trying to get back in. Because if he has another one of these, I mean 4 innings is the most. His best game was 4 innings and he had 80 something pitches the first one out against the Yankees. I think I don't think he allowed a run, but he is in constant stress in his innings. Man, if he comes out here and does another, if he goes 2 innings and 5-6 runs or something tonight, I don't think he should be in the rotation anymore. With Verlander coming back, we have completely passed the stage of Ronel Blanco in any conversation. He is in this puppy.
I think it would be very easy to have Hunter Brown in the category of, hey, when a game gets out of hand is when we're going to see if you can't work yourself out of this funk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or would you want him to still pitch every fifth day in Sugar Land?
I mean,
so he can work him, because now if we relegate him to this role that you're saying, which
not me, I wouldn't. We need too much help up here right now in multiple positions for me to push him to Sugar Land at this point in time. I mean, he ain't above doing what Christian Javier did until this year.
I know it, but what do you think you're getting from Hunter Brown if you take him out of the rotation and put him in middle? Like,
I don't know. I know before the season started, Hunter Brown was hell-bent on my mechanics, got a little bit funky down the stretch. That's why in the second half of the season last year, I struggled. It's about arm slot, and it's about this and that. I've got it corrected. Well, clearly, he overcorrected because this ain't the answer. So at what point is it, hey, and I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, like the guy may be better coming out of the pen.
He may be. But yeah, it's go
thoughtless
time.
As you've said it a million times, just come out here and throw everything you got.
But his problem is control in terms of walks and control in terms of the ball in the zone.
Well, I mean, hell, I ain't got all the answers.
No, that would and maybe they slowly bring him down to that, but that would be if he blows up again and screws this bullpen again.
Right.
I mean, it's go time. It's you're 6-12.
No pushback from me whatsoever.
It is go time, and you got – like, I'm right now, if he has another one, I'd rather see Brandon Bielak. I never in my life thought I would say that. I'd rather see Brandon Bielak to come in, because I feel like Brandon at least is going to give the defense a chance of fielding the ball. My man's got 8 walks. I mean, 8 strikeouts, 7 walks.
Gotta laugh to keep from crying, man.
He's got. There's a lot of pressure on him tonight. I hope he doesn't succumb to it. But that is something we got to watch. What you got coming up in the 4?
There's one Houston Texan that we had to put the expectations on pause for a couple of years.
Uh-oh.
I'll let that stew for a minute, see if anybody can figure that out. But damn it, now's the time. I'll tell you who that is. We'll let you hear from the quarterback on that particular player, and we'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.